to bring that science and risk modeling to the field and then show our trappers who are actually out in the field doing it why they're doing what they're doing, and that there's a reason why they're putting the trap where they're putting it, and then can communicate that out to our community as well, which is really profound. You can't do that when you're on paper trap cards. There's no possible way.
You just heard from Anna Norton, a Deputy Agricultural Commissioner for Napa County. In this episode, she and her colleague, Andre Napolitano, share their story of using ArcGIS field maps to manage pests, contributing to food security for the entire country.
Hello and welcome, or welcome back, to the Field Notes podcast. My name is Demaya.
And my name's Josh.
We are your hosts, and in this episode, we're talking with Anna Norton and Andre Napolitano from the Napa County Agricultural Commissioner's Office.
Hi there, so happy to be here.
Thanks, we're happy to have you here talking with us today. Now, to start off the episode, could you both talk about what your roles are at the Commissioner's Office, and also talk a little bit about what the office does, the type of work that you do there?
Okay, I'll start first. Andre here. I'm a pest exclusion deputy, and I help to coordinate efforts to enforce federal, foreign, and domestic plant pest quarantines. We do a lot of inspections of packages at parcel carriers' terminals, such as UPS, USPS, FedEx, and others. We do issue phytosanitary certificates to assure plant material meets export requirements in other countries and states. And we also regulate and inspect plant nurseries for licensing and pest cleanliness.
And I'm Anna. I'm the pest detection deputy here in Napa. A broader picture, just if I can paint it, most folks have no idea what an ag commissioner is or what we do. There's 58 counties throughout California, and we are charged with coordinating the sort of protection and promotion of agriculture broadly. California is a $50 billion agricultural industry. We produce half of the nation's fruits and vegetables, and 99% of all of the nation's specialty crops. So ag commissioners are here to essentially protect all of that from pests coming in and potentially attacking our food for our nation and our trade partners. As a pest detection deputy, I'm charged with running a incredible team of people that go out and set insect traps to monitor for pests that may be invading our little wine grapes and other commodities we have here in Napa, so that the sooner we can capture those populations and potentially eradicate them, the better we'll be here in Napa and more broadly in California. It's super important. We're protecting our agriculture out there.
Wow. I don't think I ever knew that California was responsible for half of the nation's fruits and vegetables. So, I mean, really, like the a lot of the fruit and vegetables we see at the grocery stores, like the work that y'all are doing contributes to that even being available.
That's correct. It's really interesting. We are equivalent to many other countries, or we produce more than many countries around the world as far as agriculture is concerned. We're on par with some very large producers. California, for America alone, if we went under, we would be in bad shape as Americans.
Yeah, I think that definitely highlights certainly the importance of the work that we're about to dive into. And, you know, we had a pre-recording call, and it was really cool to hear about all the ways in which your organization uses GIS, but like specifically focusing on the pest detection program to protect this this food. Let's just dive right into that. So maybe talk about, you know, what problems you're trying to solve with this, and then maybe just a brief overview of the GIS of it all.
So mostly we are looking to solve inefficiency. We would like to reduce manual data entry errors, and we'd like to improve early pest detection and response capabilities.
And then more broadly, you know, we used to be in paper. We were literally on paper trap cards in binders. And when you're trying to run a program, track things, coordinate staff can be pretty challenging. But then bigger picture, when you start taking that out to a California nation and international level, these systems are so critical in not just helping to provide efficiencies for our taxpayer dollars. You know, I'm a public servant. I am very, very passionate about making sure those dollars go as far as we can possibly take them. I'm doing so really responsibly, and these tools just are magnificent at finding those efficiencies. But also, we're constantly looking at ways, especially as government agents, to help break down silos across not just government agencies at the different levels, but starting to integrate across our research partners, our industry partners, and then even better, you know, getting our citizens engaged and our citizen scientists participating. Obviously, these tools are being used to improve food security, which then also helps to protect our trade relationships. When you're on paper, it can take a really long time to prove to your partners that everything's safe and that you're not sending them pests or infested fruits and vegetables. So those trade relationships are critical, whether it's interstate or international. More broadly, California has a roadmap to pesticide use reduction. And so when we're catching these pests early, the long range outcomes of that means we don't have to have, you know, lifelong pesticide applications, which then also translates into water use, fuel use, impacts to our soil structure, and then even more labor out in the field, which means potential for worker safety issues just blooming. And so these tools, while they may simply just here in Napa be used, okay, we're running a little more efficiently and catching our pests sooner, there's this huge umbrella that ends up unfolding that we're participating in and hitting these really high value cultural and environmental impacts that just are a win for everybody, whether it's economic, you're not spending as much on chemistry, water, fuel, and labor, or environmental. These are just wins for everybody that we're all passionate about here at the Ag Commissioner's Office and just really as citizens of the community as well. So this tool really ties into some really critical pieces that really everybody, it touches everybody out there.
Yeah, I think when you just even think about the scale of, like you said before, the agricultural industry in California, 50% of fruits and vegetables, it kind of makes sense that it goes just beyond just crops, but also impact relationships, how we guess interface with other nations. So that's really cool to hear. Could you talk more about how that collaboration aspect of your use of these apps and how you engage with community and also other organizations?
Sure. We recently continue sharing our data from the trapping program with our UC Cooperative Extension researchers to support. They do a lot of risk analysis on pests and also to better understand pest biology. There's only so much that we understand the pest distribution, and then having this trap geo-reference data set is very crucial for them to understand pest behaviors, and therefore we can actually further control this pest in case of an introduction. We do internally collaborate with the Planning, Building, and Environmental Department. We help them and they help us to create data sets for wellhead locations and other field assets that are interesting, mutually interesting for them and us. We have, to the public, we do create some web maps applications that they can actually depict and then see all the pest finds in the county, which is a good awareness for them and also information on how to farm in those areas and what kind of pressure they do deal when they're farming with specific pests around them. We have provided invasive pest plant locations to the USDA Natural Resource Conservation Service and helps to understanding, you know, the distribution of invasive weeds in our county. And we also do, to our state partners, we provide them direct access to our dashboards and field map applications for quality control checks and also for quality control inspections.
And I'll add one bigger picture dream that we're stepping into as we're developing our next phase of our GIS tool development. Now that we have a fairly robust field maps project, one of the things we do here at the Ag Commissioner's Office that's really critical to protecting our agriculture is educating and performing outreach to our citizens and teaching them about not moving things around. You know, Uncle Bob sends you some citrus with leaves on it from Southern California or Florida, or your international relatives or friends are thinking that they're just going to send you this really nice piece of fruit in the mail. And so there's all sorts of things that we can do to engage our citizens. And now that we have all this rich data in field maps, we're looking at now taking that into public-facing dashboards and story maps and being able to integrate those visuals that we have that are so profound in the storytelling and helping to show people in every day how they can participate in protecting our agricultural world and ecosystems out there. So it's not quite there yet for us, but it's something we're developing our staff skill sets to start pushing out there, hopefully in the next year or so.
I love that. And I feel like, yeah, there probably are a lot of people out there who wouldn't know like planting XYZ invasive species could then sprout into this gigantic problem. And it's not like that information is just like taught to all of us. So I think anything you can do to get that info out there is really important for your mission. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit more specifically about the Field Maps app and kind of the workflow that you have surrounding that, and maybe some of like outside of location, like what data are you collecting?
So in our program here for the pest detection, we have a multitude of layers that we have our trappers or field technicians interacting to. Most of them are actually support data. It's like roads, maps, access data, entry from properties, routing arrows. But we do have, mostly we are interacting with a point layer, which is our trap locations, which is very interesting layer set that we have ability to record the actions, the trapping actions, and then add notes to it. And this is what we drive most of our states and daily reports. And that's the information that we share with public and our partners.
One other piece that I found just incredibly powerful for the field maps workflow piece of it, we get risk modeling from our UC Cooperative Extension. So in California, we have our ag commissioners, and then the University of California has cooperative extensions, usually a one-to-one ratio for each county. So we literally have UC researchers here just down the hall. They're our neighbors. We can go knock on their door. So the collaboration is intentional. And with these tools, we're able to go, you know, knock on here in this county, it's Dr. Cooper and her team, and they put together risk modeling for us. And so we can actually have much more effective, efficient, science-driven, biology-driven, weather-driven, terrain-driven, population dynamic, traffic-driven analysis applied to where we're building out our projects and executing those traps. So if you're looking at our project, you can see we have so many interactive layers that are dictating to our trappers, okay, in this square mile, we want this many traps at a really high density because it's really high risk. And then we're not going to spend the same number of dollars over in this grid over here because it's just really low risk and we just need a little bit of monitoring to see if something's flying around. And so it's really helped us not just with efficiency, but to bring that science and risk modeling to the field and then show our trappers who are actually out in the field doing it, why they're doing what they're doing and that there's a reason why they're putting the trap where they're putting it, and then can communicate that out to our community as well, which is really profound. You can't do that when you're on paper trap cards. There's no possible way. And so there's some interactivity there where as we're working and collaborating across these different agencies and have access to these data sets in these tools that Esri provides for us, it just creates these profoundly effective and efficient workflows that just tickle me, quite frankly.
Definitely. We've talked a lot in the past about how GIS, and particularly using GIS technology, kind of helps prompt collaboration, especially when it comes to data sharing and data collection. But it's cool to also hear, or it makes sense to also hear that interactivity that you get with using apps and technology also helps to build up and support that collaboration and make it so that you are doing things more efficiently and in a way that kind of allows you to do work in a better way. I guess moving to more high level discussion of your work, has there been any unexpected ways that you have used GIS and mobile GIS in your workflow?
Yes, and it go above and beyond just the workflow. I think one thing that we, Anne and I spoke about that has really shocked us and surprised us, there's an improvement of staff morale. There's a sense of ownership and pride in our team that we can be creative and we can adapt and thrive dealing with adversities. So we see as we implemented this new system, people are proud, they're out showing, look at what we're doing, this is the new project, and how better we are spending the taxpayer money. We're actually able to increase our trap numbers in comparison to every other county that continue reducing their traps numbers because we're all dealing with budget reductions. And then due to the efficiency of field maps and allowing us to work in multiple projects and better routing and better plan our working days, we are able to actually increase the number of traps that we had historically just by transferring from the old paper platform to the new field maps approach. It has provided like amazing management tool, the ability that we have to oversee the bigger picture of the program, what's happening, how many traps are out in service, what got missed, and what got serviced same time is really, really changing. And I would say that what we didn't expect as much as the ability that we have to respond to change. We're dealing with biological change. There's parameters that get changed from the state, the number of traps per square mile, the servicing frequency, and then sometimes even budgetary change. So we change the number of traps due to contracts, and historically it would take us months in able to adopt those changes. And in today's days, we can respond with basically a click of a mouse. We are moving on, we have the new response. One thing that we had also the ability to respond to nearly detections. So we had a few years ago, a pest was detected in our county, and within days, we were able to delimitate the area, identify all the parameters, all the available hosts, and deploy all the traps within days. And historically, that would have taken us months in order to, in a paper way, to identify all the properties and hosts. So the response that we've seen in the facility to interact with the tool is really surprising to us.
I'll throw in another anecdote. When you use the word unexpected, I was only a handful of years into this position and running this project, and we were fairly new. We were still in collector. We hadn't transitioned to field maps yet. And our little favorite virus, COVID, showed up. And our facility here is not large enough to sufficiently satisfy social distancing needs for our team. And so in that March and April, we sat down with our commissioner at the time, and he asked, you know, can we run a trapping program? And if so, how can we do it? And if we had been on paper, we would have gone to an incredibly bare bones project with a few trappers running the absolute minimum we could get away with. And it would have been really difficult to even pull that off. Instead, because we were in collector and actually started beta testing field maps that season, we were able to run our project out of the parking lot for 2 years, and our trappers enjoyed it. And because there were so many other counties that had reduced their trapping projects, there was additional funding available that we went ahead and grabbed. So in this crazy dynamic where the whole world is shutting down, we not only continued to trap at full capacity, we picked up additional projects. And so we actually expanded our protection of our agricultural systems out there as all of the chaos of COVID was unfolding, and did it out of our parking lot every day. Andre and I think ended up having a lot of fun figuring out how to make that work. And if we hadn't been in collector and subsequently field maps the next year for 2021, it never would have happened. I guarantee you right now, we wouldn't have been able to do it. And so this, if you want to talk about an unexpected benefit of being in these systems, man, if something happens and you've got to just shift on a dime, these tools let you do it, whether it's in response to a surprise pest invasion or something's happening with your facilities and you can't bring your team inside, or you've got to keep everybody 6 feet, whatever it is, being able to just hand folks an iPad instead of piles of supplies, it just, the logistics of it were so seamless, and the trappers' morale stayed high. They felt so good that they were out there still continuing to serve, helped keep a lot of folks sane during that crazy time. So it was a hugely unexpected benefit that ended up keeping our projects alive for years to come, and just incredible, phenomenal. I couldn't be more grateful.
On a daily basis, we also notice the reduction of the administrative work that our trappers had to spend in the office, drawing maps, manually building reports. We were able to create like a list or slash drop down menu. So the standardization of our data set becomes so much cleaner, so much better. Now we are much easier to manipulate and process this data. We have been relying on the auto calculating fields for service actions, so we and service dates. And we have our favorite 2024 tool is the auto naming of our traps. So now we have different layers interacting via the script that will generate the name. So everyone is loving the efficiency that we've seen. In addition to efficiency, we believe with the auto calculation fields, it's not just accuracy, it's also preventing potential data manipulation. And I think it reflects back on the transparency, not just to us, but to our partner, that our data is secure and correct and it has not been manipulated.
I think oftentimes everyone we talk to, you hear of, you know, GIS or an Esri app or something, and you get it for one goal in mind. And then you end up just finding all these other possibilities and solutions that you can use it for. And like, you know, efficiency for one project turns into, you know, organizational efficiency. And it's especially like heartening for both of us to hear about how it's boosted morale, and the ownership aspect of it is really important for any job, you know, so to be able to have that, I think is really, really special. So just really appreciate you sharing all those stories with us. I've been very excited to ask this next question because this is part of our theme for this season, which is designing better field workflows. And we want to ask you two, the experts, what are your top tips for our listeners when they are using the apps, preparing field workflows, anything you have to offer? We'd love to hear it.
I personally have two tips I would like to share to all the listeners. Think outside the box. If you're like us transitioning from an archaic system into this new system, don't allow old concepts and its old restrictions to interfere on your new project. And I always, Anna and I, we always joke around our technicians, be brave, be bold, try it. So that's my message to them, be brave, be bold, move it on. And then sometimes the idea that we don't need to wait for something to be broken to fix, go ahead and fix it, jump ahead. And my last one is rely on feedback from users. It's very important, the design, the field maps, the angle of this is to make the field technicians work easier and then more efficient. So make sure to have feedback from the field users and make sure to incorporate those feedbacks, because that's going to make our project more efficient and it runs better.
And then I'll throw out there something genius. You want to talk about an expert. Genius that Andre developed. When Liz Armstrong was out here last fall, she deemed it gamifying, and it is sort of the perfect word. And what he did was he integrated essentially responsive symbology for our field technicians. So as they're out working through their day's assignments, as they're servicing traps, you know, the symbols change and they can track what they've done. They know they haven't missed anything. From a management standpoint, the ability to use that to track my staff live, to be able to communicate so seamlessly with them just based off of visuals is profound, especially compared to working in books. But I can't tell you how much the field staff themselves love that sort of game feeling. And it just adds that extra layer that you can't get from paper that engages them and helps them feel, you know, some folks get a little anxious that they've maybe missed a trap that day or the data didn't get in the system. And other folks just love popping bubbles or whatever it is. And so if there's a way that as you're building your tools for your field staff, it'll benefit you too as a manager, but we have so many tools on the back end that, you know, it's six in one hand, half a dozen in the other. But for field staff, that was one of the best things that Andre did. And there's so many amazing things that that man put together. But that gamify approach just really took it to another level. And our staff just love it. The more we can do with that, which we have applied over the last few seasons, we have whack-a-mole maps where once you update something, it disappears, or there's just all sorts of interactivity there that's just based off of symbology, and it helps them do their jobs and be able to see what is and isn't done, and track each other and themselves and hand things off. So it's just wonderful. So I can say, if you can figure out a way to quote unquote gamify your project, I promise it will pay huge dividends.
Yeah, thank you for sharing those tips. I'm sure there are a lot of users out there who are looking to transition from paper to digital, or who have already done it and are thinking like, what's next, or how do I make this better? And I think those are amazing tips. And as someone who loves interactivity and kind of gamification, I think that's a great tip to add to. You wouldn't think about it when it comes to like something like field work, but I think it goes a long way and can be engaged, like you said before.
I would be so competitive. Like, I would be like, I'm going to get mine done first. They're all going to disappear.
It would not be the first time I heard that.
Maybe that's a real efficiency trick there.
Competition.
Yeah.
Thinking or looking at the future, are there any ways that you see your use of mobile apps, mobile GIS changing or evolving?
We have too much fun to not keep sort of progressing with our existing projects and developing new projects. Once we stepped into field maps, this has now spun out into all sorts of other projects we have in the office. But looking forward, I know there's got to be some AI integrations that are coming that we're really excited about, and ultimately just continuing to be creative and get feedback from our field staff on what they need, want, like, and continuing to develop it. Of course, our dream is to create this tool so that everybody can have access to it.
I think that's great. I think especially with all that you've achieved with what you've done in Napa, I think so many could benefit from using the same model that y'all are. And that segues great into our last question, which is, if folks want to learn more about the amazing work that you're doing, where can they go?
Well, first I would say you should come and visit Napa Valley, and then you can come stop our office and we'll be happy to show a little bit in details what we've been doing. But if you don't have the opportunity to come here, you can always search for our website, Napa County Agriculture Office, and then feel free to reach out with any questions. We'd love to share our experience with you.
We're also potentially going to put together a project demo and post it to our county YouTube. We've had quite a lot of interest from other counties, but we'd also like industry researchers, citizen scientists, our federal government partners to be able to see what we've been doing here at Napa and sort of fly the flag. So hopefully we'll have a YouTube video. I think I need to have it up in about a week. So they may be able to search for that as well and at least be able to see how the project works and how it applies to the work that we do. And even maybe how the Gamify app works in our project, because that symbology interactivity could transfer pretty much to any project, in my opinion.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for joining us and talking with us today. It was really great learning more about your work in Napa County. So thank you so much.
Thank you both. We're so grateful for this opportunity to be highlighted and share the work that we've been doing. I can't tell you how proud I am of this team, and working with Andre has been such a wonderful experience. And I hope that this product just continues to support protecting our agricultural systems and the entire financial engine and mouths that it feeds. So thank you for this opportunity to highlight this tool.
Thanks, Josh. Thanks, Namai. It was a pleasure to be here.
Thank you for listening to the Field Notes podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, subscribe to Field Notes on your favorite podcast app and join us on the next episode.